Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog. This is Preview Spotlight number 79 for the May 2014 previews. In this episode, we'll be going over some of the items and previews that you'll hopefully will find interesting. How do we determine that? We let listeners like you send in clips each and every month. Basically, all you gotta do is record a short MP3 saying, this title from this publisher looks interesting for this reason, and sell us on it. I mean, there are a lot of things out there. Previews is usually around 500 pages. In this case, it was over 600 because DC had the extra round of stuff for the Futures End event in September. It's really easy to miss things in a 500 or 600 page catalog, add in the other 100 pages for Marvel. I can basically do these kinds of episodes myself, but then you'd only be getting what I like and I wouldn't be learning anything else. Having other people send in clips really is what makes this work. And we had a lot of people send in clips this time around. Derek, Drew, TJ, David, Sam, the guys over at Comics for Fun and Profit. Next month, you could be one of them too. So if you want to know what a clip sounds like, hey, you're going to hear a whole bunch of them in a few minutes. As always, we're going to be starting at the beginning of previews, working our way to the back. We're not going to go item by item, page by page, or even publisher by publisher. We're just going to hit the highlights. So with all that having been said, let's get started.
Hi, this is Sam, and this is a pick from the Dark Horse section, and that is Gru versus Conan, written by Mark Evanier and drawn by Sergio Aragonés and Thomas Yates. I can't wait for this. Longtime Sergio Aragonés fan. Gru the Wanderer was one of the books I read religiously as a kid. So this should be a lot of fun. Like I said, it's a four-issue miniseries. This is issue one. The description reads, it had to happen. The most heroic warrior in history meets the stupidest as Robert E. Howard's immortal Conan the Barbarian crosses swords with Sergio Aragonés's Gru the Wanderer in Gru versus Conan number one. This four-issue miniseries was concocted by Mark Evanier and Sergio Aragonés, added by illustrator Thomas Yates and colorist Tom Luth. Will Conan annihilate Gru? Will Gru turn out to be the man who can defeat Conan? We'll see. The humor of and illustration skill of Sergio Aragonés, and again, the great humor writing that Mark Evanier can pull off. I am really looking forward to this series. It should be a lot of fun. I think if you're a fan of either of these characters, well, if you're a fan of Gru, I think you'll enjoy this. And if you're a fan of Conan, who has somewhat of a sense of humor about the character, I think this should be a lot of fun. So, again, that's Gru versus Conan number one from Dark Horse. And that's my pick for this month. Thank you.
Next up on page 48 is Usagi Yojimbo Color Special, The Artist. This is a full-color one-shot. And it is, basically, Stan Sakai is after taking a bit of a break from Usagi Yojimbo to go do the wonderful 47 Ronin miniseries, he's coming back to Usagi Yojimbo. This actually, though, is a collection of short stories from Dark Horse Presents 7, 35, 36, and MySpace Dark Horse Presents number 18 and 35. So these are going to be full color, whereas normally Usagi Yojimbo is in black and white. This includes also some painted segments by Stan Sakai. It is a $3.99 one-shot. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS because it's one of the comic book page picks of the month. I'm a big fan of Usagi Yojimbo. It took me far too long to get into it. I think I picked up around issue 118 or something. I've got all the various trades and stuff. Actually, I've got the hardcover box set that collects the first, I'm not sure how many issues. I mean, that thing's huge. And then all the trades after that. And at some point, I'm going to go read through all of that stuff. I've only read the later work of Stan Sakai for Usagi Yojimbo from, again, about 118 on. Love it. It's great stuff. It's very accessible. And it's basically about a Ronin rabbit. It's anthropomorphic animals, but it's as if they're regular people or whatnot. And it's set back in the feudal era of Japan. So great fun. Definitely worth checking out. This is an excellent opportunity to do so and get it in full color. So once again, Usagi Yojimbo, color special, The Artist, on page 48. Check it out.
This is Derek from the Comics Alternative Podcast, and I am looking through the May 2014 previews catalog. My first pick of the month is on page 49 in the Dark Horse section. Red Moon, written by Carlos Trillo and art by Eduardo Risso. I am not entirely sure if I'm going to get this, but I do want to highlight this because of the artist, Eduardo Risso. And if you look in the previews catalog, or if you just do a Google search on the cover, you'll see that it definitely is Risso's work, but it's a different kind of art than you're used to. He is the artist of the acclaimed series 100 Bullets, among other projects, and his art usually has a darker, grittier, and actually a more sexy way of appearing. But this looks like an all-age book, at least from the cover and the solicit. And that reads, when Moon's village is attacked and her father arrested, she embarks on an adventure to find the power to save him and bring joy to the people of Burien. With the help of an invisible friend, Moon and her pal, Antoline the Acrobat, will sail the high seas, befriend fairies, and fight volatile monsters. On their journey, they'll gather the strength to comfort the vast army controlling the citizens of her home and bring peace to the land. This is definitely a far cry from the world we have in 100 Bullets. So I'm interested to see how Risso works with the art here. And you can find out more about this title on page 49, Red Moon, written by Carlos Trillo and Eduardo Risso in art.
Hey guys, it's Drew with my pick from Dark Horses on page 57 of the previews catalog. This is my quarterly plea to all of you to pick up Mind Management. This is Mind Management number 24 by Matt Kent. Written and drawn by him. This goes on sale July 30. It's 24 pages for $3.99. This is stamped with the Starting Point logo, so it's a great jumping on point for new readers. This is a fantastic, super creative, innovative espionage, spy, supernatural type of book that has to be read to be believed. I love it. It's got a cool wraparound cover in this issue. So Mind Management number 24 is really ready for you to hop on. And this is a one-shot that will be easily accessible for everyone and get you on the beginning of the arc going forward. So once again, please try Mind Management number 24 from Dark Horse on page 57 of the previews catalog.
Hey guys, this is TJ back for another month of previews. And with my first selection on page 59 of the Dark Horse section, this is Finder Third World with art and writing by Carla Speed McNeil with Jenny Manley Lee with colors. And I'm just a big fan of Carla Speed McNeil's Finder series. I have the library editions and a few of other stuff. And it's just this long-running, what she calls aboriginal sci-fi comic. And it's just so smart and so detailed. And her line work is so good and so clean. Just a really smart series of comics. And the characters are so well-developed. And I'm just a big fan of Finder. And she's been doing it for a long time. And this is kind of a story that previously run in Dark Horse Presents. But it does have, I think, 17 pages of extra material that wasn't in that when it was presented in Dark Horse Presents. So if you want the full complete story, then you're going to want to check out page 59 for Finder, the Third World trade paperback. And this is kind of the description. There hasn't been a single place that Jaeger couldn't infiltrate, escape, or loot until now. Award-winning creator Carla Speed McNeil and colorist Jenny Manley Lee and Bill Mudron create the very first full-color Finder graphic novel. Serialized in the pages of Dark Horse Presents, Finder Third World now includes 17 extra story pages and extensive annotation by McNeil. That's the other thing I like about her books is usually in the collected editions, she has a section in the back that she annotates a lot of what she was thinking when she was doing the story. So it kind of gives you real, history of what she's referencing in terms of literature and what's going on in the world. And she puts a lot of stuff in her comics. So if you're interested in finding her, there's a new solid trade paperback coming out, page 59 of Dark Horse. Hey guys, TJ again with my next pick. It's on page 72 of the Dark Horse section. It's Sally Heathcote's Suffragette hardcover. It's by writing by Mary Talbot with art by Kate Charlesworth and layouts by Brian Talbot. And I became a fan of the Talbots when I read their previous graphic novel, Daughter of Her Father's Eye, which I think won a pretty prestigious literary award in Europe. I'm not sure what the name of it was, but it was a pretty big deal. I think it was the first graphic novel that had won that award. And they just have a really good ability to tell stories. And I think I was just really impressed with the way that they were able to create characters. It's a pretty slim graphic novel, the previous one. It's only, I think, 96 pages. This one's a little bit longer. I think it's 192. They are really good at characterization, really good at making you feel what these people are going through in their lives. And so I'm kind of interested in this one. So the description is, a story of loyalty, love, and courage. Sally Heathcote's Suffragette follows a common housemaid swept up in the feminist militancy of Edwardian Britain. Coast Award winner Mary and Brian Talbot and acclaimed illustrator Kate Charlesworth craft a gripping inside story of depth, drama, and detail that brings history to life. So I kind of like the more historical set comics, and this is just something different. And because I've liked these creators in the past, I'm more than willing to try out their next book. And I do love the hardcover format. So if you're interested in trying something a little different with some creators that are proven talents, check out Sally Heathcote's Suffragette on page 72 of the Dark Horse section.
Next up on page 80 in the DC section is Grayson number 1. This is written by Tim Seeley with art by Michael Janin. Not familiar with the artist. Tim Seeley's done a lot of great work. They are taking Dick Grayson, former sidekick, former superhero, former dead man, which interesting right there, and they're turning him into a agent of Spiral. I have no idea what Spiral is. Presumably it's a super spy organization of some sort. This is a new ongoing series. It's a super spy thriller, and seems like it's going to, to a degree, reinvent the Dick Grayson character. I'm curious what direction they're going to go with it and how well it's going to work. This is, I think, a definite turning point in the character's ongoing history and stuff. I'm a huge fan of Nightwing, Robin, Dick Grayson, you know, the various versions of the character have been for ages. I'm looking forward to this. This could be a lot of fun. I hope it's to my liking. Either way, we've got a 50% discount on it. So, once again, Grayson number 1 from DC on page 80. Check it out.
This is Drew and Kyle with Comics for Fun and Profit, and we're on page 82 of your previews guide when we're looking at Suicide Squad number 1.
No. It's the new Suicide Squad.
Oh, I'm sorry. The new Suicide Squad number 1 from DC. One that I didn't know that necessarily needed rebooted, but I'm actually, now that I'm reading about it, looking at it, I'm very excited about this reboot. Sean Ryan is going to be writing it, and Jeremy Roberts is going to be doing the art. Do you remember Jeremy Roberts, Drew?
Yeah, from the Harley Quinn Zero issue.
Harley Quinn Zero, that's right. Yeah. We were very impressed with his art in that issue, and this is going to be his book to showcase that art style that we liked so much. The other thing I'm really excited about is, Forever Evil's been awful with this, putting off a number 7 and not really getting any culmination of that. But what I've found is I really like Black Manta from these. You know, he's just absolutely ruthless and an awful murderer, and he's just, I love him.
Yeah.
And he's in this book as well. He's there. He's with Deathstroke. You're getting Joker's daughter in here. You know, the dynamic between Harley Quinn and Joker's daughter, how does, you know, Harley deal with the fact that she's got to look at her boyfriend's face every day in this?
That's a really good group. I'm staring at it, and I didn't notice the team before. And yeah, I like this mix. It's good, and I'm glad it's part of the all new DC Now line of relaunches. And I guess that makes it all new. So yeah, I'm excited. It's 32 pages. It's $2.99, which I'm a big fan of.
hold the line at $299.
Holding the line at $299, and so I am semi-excited for this.
And somehow Joker's daughter has Thor's hammer, it looks like, so that's going to be something fun to find out in there, too. But I'm not real sure. So Comics for Fun and Profit is excited about the new Suicide Squad, number one, coming out in July from DC Comics.
Hi, this is Sam, and this pick is from the DC section of the previews catalog, and that is Teen Titans number one, written by Will Pfeiffer, art by Kenneth Rocafort. I've always liked the Teen Titans. I actually like the new 52 version. I know they haven't been overly popular. I'm not thrilled about the fact that they're restarting this with a new number one, but that apparently is the way of modern comics. But anyways, description reads, Red Robin, Wonder Girl, Raven, Bunker, and Beast Boy step out of the shadows of the adult heroes of the DC universe to offer bold, exciting, and sometimes dangerous ideas on how to protect a world full of superpowered teenagers, any one of whom could be the next heroic figure or major villain. The Teen Titans series that would have existed in the New 52 kind of from its beginning, I've actually fairly enjoyed. I really like this Wonder Girl, Red Robin, Tim Drake, as he's been portrayed in this series. I think it's been really interesting and fascinating. It's still not very clear his backstory and exactly how he came to be a Robin, but I think he's done a heck of a job leading this team. And Bunker is one of the fun new characters of the New 52, a young adult, very excited to be. He's got an enthusiasm level, even if he's not perfect. It kind of reminds me of some of the early days of the Titans. So I've really enjoyed these characters, and I'm kind of looking forward to see how this will go. It's hard to go wrong with Kenneth Rocafort art either. So I'm really looking forward to this new relaunch of the Teen Titans.
Hello, this is David Arrington of the Helix Reviews podcast, and I have Superman Wonder Woman Annual number one. Superman Wonder Woman is one of my favorite series that DC is doing right now. It is such a fun series, and it really, I guess, is delving into, you know, the relationship between Superman and Wonder Woman. And I just think it's doing a great job at making you care about these characters and care about, you know, their relationship with each other, and you want this relationship to work out. And, you know, I'm interested to see, you know, where this relationship goes in the future. And so that's why I'm recommending you check out, you know, Superman Wonder Woman Annual number one. And plus, the annuals, sometimes they're easy to miss if you're, you know, getting the 1, 2, 3, 4, and then the annual comes along. Sometimes they're easy to miss, but normally they're a pretty, you know, good, solid story. A lot of times they're, you know, self-contained. The solicitation for this one reads, only an annual could contain this chapter of Superman Doomed. So it's a Superman Doomed tie-in. It's an all-out assault by the heroes of Earth, superpowered and not, on the God of War, Wonder Woman, who's leading the charge against all manner of alien attackers. The monstrous Superman smashes through everything, friend or foe, as his de-evolution reaches its a critical stage. It all leads to their best hope, the Phantom Zone? I'm not entirely sure what Superman Doomed is about. It's a series I'm planning on checking out just because I like the big event type stuff. So, but what it sounds like is Superman is like going crazy and they have to stop him. What is this going to do to this whole, you know, this whole title could be shaken up by this event. And, you know, I'm excited to see where this goes from here. So I recommend checking out Superman Wonder Woman Annual number one. Hello, this is David Arrington of the Helix Reviews podcast, and I have Harley Quinn Invades Comic-Con International San Diego number one. It's written by the same team that does the main Harley Quinn comic book. Amanda Connor is the writer, and Jimmy Palmiotti is also the writer. I was about to say the artist. Amanda Connor is the artist, and others. Now this series, I'll read the solicit first. The title says it all. Our favorite little troublemaker, Harley Quinn, takes on Comic-Con International San Diego in this over-the-top issue. She'll have to battle long lines, crazy crowds, and the Dread Con crud, all in this quest to get her own comic book published. Now, this is what I was wanting from the rest of the Harley Quinn series. Now, I loved Harley Quinn number zero. It was funny, it was over the top, it was crazy, it was ridiculous, but it was a lot of fun. And it broke the fourth wall, left, right, and center, and that's what I was hoping the series would do overall. But I've been enjoying the series. It's kind of like a comedy series of the DC Universe, with a little bit darker of humor than most comedy series, probably. But what I really wanted out of the series originally is the fourth wall, crazy, over the top type of stuff, and that's what it looks like we're getting back to with this issue. Now, it's just a one-shot, and, you know, they're just going to continue on with the regular series and everything, but this is what I was hoping for with the regular series, and so now we're getting more of this. Hopefully, they do a couple more one-shots that are kind of just random, crazy, over-the-top type stuff like this. I'm excited about this. And so that's why I think if you were a fan of Harley Quinn number zero, check out Harley Quinn Invades Comic-Con International San Diego number one.
Next up on page 123 is Booster Gold Futures End number one. Now, this is part of the September Future End event. This is going to have a series of 41 issues and stuff that have the 2D standard edition and the 3D motion covers and stuff like they did with the Villain Month stuff. Because those covers take a while to produce, get manufactured, etc., DC is advanced soliciting basically the entire New 52 universe that'll ship in September. So in addition to everything else, which is going to come out in July, again, we've got a whole nother round of solicits here. The Booster Gold one looks really interesting to me. Booster is trapped along with some other forgotten heroes that are being held captive, and they're trying to escape and, I guess, get to the New 52 universe. So I'm real curious who else is going to be involved in that, what's going on with Booster, how he was captured, and the like. Now, again, these are being advanced solicited for a September release date. The covers are not yet available. DC's going to put them online on May 27th. Now, the interesting thing about that is at local comic shops, these orders are due on May 18th. Through DCBS, I believe the cutoff is May 28th. And at DC, I mean, the orders have to be into Diamond by May 29th. So they're really cutting it incredibly close. I'm going to say too close and in some cases late for people to really be able to order based on what the covers look like. Now, for me, that's not a big deal. I've decided I'm going to get the 2D versions, save a dollar on each of these issues. You know, it's 41 comics right there. That's going to wind up saving me a good couple of bucks. So I think the 3D covers are cool. I think a lot of people are going to check them out. But it is going to make for a little bit higher total for me this month, because in addition to the regular DC Universe stuff, I've got, again, the whole other round of the Futures End event for September. Now, what that means is next month we're going to have a regular round of solicitations from DC, but the month after that, which will cover when September's items ship, they'll just probably be reminding us of this, showing us the covers, but these orders will have already been placed. The 3D covers will not have a final order cutoff date. Matter of fact, the 2Ds won't either. So any orders placed after May 29th will not be guaranteed, subject to allocation, etc. Kind of like how happened with the Villain Month stuff. DC's at least handling this a bit better. Again, with the Booster Gold one, I'm looking forward to that. The other stuff looks cool, too. So check it out. That's on page 123 of the previews catalog.
This is Derek again with the Comics Alternative Podcast. My next pick of the month is in the DC / Vertigo section. You'll find it on page 157, and it is Bodies, issue number 2. Now, this is written by Cy Spencer and art by Dean Olmstrom, Megan Hetrick, Phil Winslade, and Tulsa Lotte. Now, why so many artists? Well, listen to this solicit. Vertigo brings you the miniseries of the summer with four detectives, four time periods, and four dead bodies, all set in London. Edmund Hillinghead is an 1890s overachiever who's trying to solve a murder no one cares about while hiding his own secret. Carl Whiteman is our dashing 1940s adventurer with a shocking past. Herrera Hassan is 2014's kick-ass female detective sergeant who walks the line between religion and power. And Maplewood, an amnesiac from post-apocalyptic 2050, brings a haunting perspective to it all. Cy Spencer executes a century-spanning murder mystery like nothing you've ever seen before with four sensational artists, illustrating a six-page chapter in each issue. So, apparently, each of the four artists in Bodies is going to deal with one of these four different time periods. And each issue of Bodies is going to embody all four of these stories. So I will be interested to see how Spencer and the artists here carry it off. I've been very impressed with Spencer's work in the past. He's done some work on Hellblazer. And then a few years ago, he wrote the miniseries Final Underground. And I really enjoyed that. Was sorry to see it go. So I'm curious to see where he takes this project. Another thing to note about this is in my book, anytime Vertigo comes out with a new title, it's not only cause to take note, but also cause to celebrate. About a year ago, we were wondering where Vertigo would be going in the wake of Hughes's departure. They seem to be steadying themselves and coming up with some really good titles, and this is another one of them. Find out more about Bodies number 1 on page 157 of the May Previews catalog.
Hey guys, TJ back again, this time in the Vertigo section, page 163. This is Trillium trade paperback, written by Jeff Lemire, with art also by Jeff Lemire. I'm a huge Jeff Lemire fan. First came to read his Essex County and was just blown away, and obviously he's gone on to do a lot of mainstream work. I actually still prefer some of his more kind of creator-owned stuff, like the Underwater Welder that he did through Top Shelf, and you know, I kind of like his non-superhero stuff a little bit better, although he does, you know, write a pretty mean Green Arrow and a few other books. But this one, again, you know, he does both the writing and the art. And, you know, if you're familiar with his style, it's pretty loose. But in this series, he's definitely tightened it up as compared to, you know, looking at Underwater Welder. And obviously this is also color, where that book was black and white. And this is, you know, collects the whole 8-issue miniseries. And it says, two souls separated by thousands of years and hundreds of millions of miles will fall in love and as a result bring about the end of the universe. Even the reality is unraveling all around them. Nothing can pull them apart. This isn't just a love story. This is the last love story ever told. You know, romance comics, you know, used to be huge and, you know, they kind of fell out of favor a lot, you know, in the last probably 50, 60 years. But, you know, I kind of trust a creator like Jeff Lemire. And, you know, even if I don't read a lot of romance comics, I trust him as a great storyteller. And his art is, you know, just top notch. And I have flipped through a few of these books in the shop, you know, the single issues. And so I'm kind of looking forward to this. And they also have a 50% off through DCBS. So if you're a fan of Jeff Lemire, here's your chance for the collected edition of Trillium on page 163 of Vertigo.
This is Derek again from the Comics Alternative podcast and blog. My next pick of the month is also in the Vertigo section. You'll find this on page 165, Vertigo Quarterly, Magenta. This includes stories written by Peter Milligan, Fabio Moon, and other stories and art by a variety of others. I'm not going to go through all the names here. I just the other week read the first installment in the Vertigo Quarterly series, and that was the Cyan issue. I can say that I was a little disappointed in it. I was expecting much more. If you're interested in my thoughts and the details behind my analysis, check out the Comics Alternative blog. I write a review of it, and I'm not overly kind. I don't pan it, but I do express my disappointment. I'm hoping that something a little better happens in Magenta. I don't know why it would. A friend of mine said that anytime you're dealing with an anthology, you got to expect, you know, a number of misses. At least with the Scion issue that came out the other week, there were more misses than I thought were appropriate in an anthology, especially one that you have to dish out $7.99 for. I'm still sticking with this. I love Vertigo, get almost everything that they put out, and I'm going to see if the Magenta issue changes my mind about the Vertigo Quarterly. So you can find out more about this on page 165. If you're into themed collections, and Vertigo does a lot of those, especially themed collections centered around colors, then this might be for you.
Hey guys, TJ back with you for another selection, this time in the IDW section on page 183. This is The Squidder, number one, by Ben Templesmith. And you guys know I'm a collected editions guy, so why am I highlighting a single issue? Well, I'm a huge fan of Ben Templesmith. You know, I read a lot of different comics, and so I, you know, like to have variety in terms of art and artist, or, you know, art artists. And one of the things, you know, I just talked about Jeff Lemire in a previous highlight, but Ben Templesmith also has a very distinct style that I really like. And this the material that he's going to be writing in this short form 4-issue miniseries just kind of, I think, fits his art style perfectly. So this book is, like I said, IDW, The Squidder. This is all new 4-issue series finds an old soldier from a forgotten war in a post-apocalyptic world that has left him behind. He was one of the last of the legendary Squidder legions. Can a discarded relic with a dead wish and a rebellious squid priestess overthrow humanity's tentacled alien overlords? Ben Templesmith returns to his roots to finally do the tentacle Cthulhu-oriented book he's always promised. The Squidder mixes action, horror, science fiction, and fantasy elements with a touch of squiddy destruction. So it just seems like a pretty good horror book, so maybe not for John, but I'm a big fan of Ben Templesmith's art, and he's writing and drawing this, so it sounds, you know, right up my alley. And because I'm such a big fan of his art, I just thought people should know about this issue, you know, this four issue mini. And again, it's 50% off at DCBS, so it's $1.99. So give it a shot on page 183 of the IDW section.
Thanks for sending in that clip. Yeah, that's definitely not for me. But that's the great thing about comics and these spotlight episodes, is there's something out there for everybody, and that's why I love having clips like this sent in. Sure, I'm not interested in it, but I'm sure there are listeners out there who are. So thanks again for sending in that clip.
This is David Arrington with the Helix Reviews podcast with Transformers vs. G.I. Joe, number one. Earth makes contact with an alien race, and G.I. Joe is on the front lines of first contact. But when the Transformers arrive, their version of peace does not match our own. This is the type of comic that I just love. Take two existing properties, Transformers and G.I. Joe, and put them together and have a versus series or a team-up series. That's a lot of fun, and I think this has a lot of potential to be a lot of fun. Transformers, G.I. Joes, I know they've been together before, and honestly I've never read any of the ones where they've been together before, but this looks cool. The art and color is by a person with a name that I can't pronounce, so I'm not going to, sorry. But it is an older style, an older look to the artwork, at least on the cover, and I think it looks really cool and like nostalgic, old comic book looking. I like it. It's launching out of the Free Comic Book Day comic, which, honestly, I missed Free Comic Book Day when it came around to my, you know, comic book stores and everything. I was like, no, because I figured out about it later on when it was too late, and I was like, man, I missed it. That's a bummer. But I ordered some through DCBS, and I'll be getting those at the end of the month. So I don't remember if the G.I. Joe versus Transformers one was one I put in there. I don't remember, but we'll see if I get it then. But this series, I like this series. It looks like it's going to be an ongoing series, I guess. It doesn't say there's an end date. But if it is, I like the idea of a Transformers G.I. Joe comic. Only if they continue calling it Versus, are they going to always be fighting? That wouldn't make sense to have it ongoing and called Versus necessarily. But this is a great idea. I like this. I hope they do this in the movies, frankly. G.I. Joe and Transformers crossover in the movies. How awesome would that be? I recommend checking out Transformers vs. G.I. Joe, number one.
Hey guys, TJ back with another selection. This is on IDW, page 184. Probably one of my most anticipated selections this month. This is Transformers vs. G.I. Joe with writing by Tom Scioli and John Barber and art by Tom Scioli. The reason this is one of my most anticipated picks this month is because of Tom Scioli. I'm a huge Godland fan, which he did through Image, just a great series, and I just love his art and the way that he kind of, you know, is so inspired by Jack Kirby and the way he loves to just really enjoy making comics, and you can really tell it comes through in his art. And so, you know, this is kind of I don't know if this is a limited series or an ongoing series. But, you know, I've just followed him on his blog, and he's been doing a lot of work getting ready for this series, so I'm really excited to follow him as he goes through this. It says, Space War. Earth makes contact with an alien race, and G.I. Joe is on the front lines of first contact, but when the Transformers arrive, their version of peace does not match our own. So it's just, you know, if you're into Transformers or G.I. Joe, I'm pretty sure this is going to be pretty awesome. And with Tom's Scioli art, it's just going to be a great experience. And they also have a variant cover for subscription. People who subscribe, they have the James Stokoe variant cover, which I think I might check out. So usually not a fan of variant covers. I don't think they're very good for the comics industry in general. But I am a huge James Stokoe fan, so I might have to break my rule. So if you're interested in Transformers versus G.I. Joe's or just Tom Scioli art, check it out on page 184 of IDW.
Next up on page 189 from IDW, Star Trek number 35. Now, I've mentioned the Star Trek title a couple of times in these preview spotlight, but man, I am just loving what they're doing. Now, this is the start of a six-part storyline in which Q is going to send Kirk and the Enterprise crew to join forces with other Star Trek characters. It sounds like in this one we're going to get the crew of a certain space station, presumably that's Deep Space Nine. Now, whether that's the TV version or a reimagined recast movie version, I don't know. But either way, it should be a lot of fun to see this version of the original crew interacting with the Deep Space Nine crew. Also wondering if they're going to toss in any aspect of the crossover that Deep Space Nine did as an episode going back into the Tribbles episode of the original series. They've been doing a really good job keeping these things in line by having Roberto Orci, the screenwriter-producer of the movies, involved in this. Really loving what they're doing. It's worth checking out. $3.99 from IDW. We've got it as a comic book page pick of the month, so the cost on that is going to be 50% off, so it'll be $1.99. Definitely worth checking out. Again, Star Trek number 35 on page 198.
Yeah, hi, this is Sam, and this pick is from IDW's Darby Pop imprint, and that is Doberman number 1, written by Jack Lambert, Scott Martyr, and Rob Russell, art by Brandon McKinney. I'll read the description. Frank Doberano, a.k.a. Doberman, was the greatest detective of his era, with the fastest car, biggest gun, and longest arrest record. But after a drug bust went horribly wrong, Doberman disappeared, seeking solace in Mother Nature. Now lured back to the Force by the promise of vengeance and an ice-cold six-pack, Doberman has to deal with a new age of computers, regulations, and an uber-villain whom the world seems to believe has changed his ways. This one, I was brought to the attention of me that Scott Martyr, one of the writers, is one of the writers and producers for the show It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, a show I love, and as a fan of kind of bad action cop movies from kind of the late 70s and early 80s, the Lethal Weapons, the Roadhouses, the Tango and Cash is kind of the end of Dirty Harry series, that era. Scott Martyr, I know, is a huge fan of that same stuff. If you're an Always Sunny in Philadelphia fan, he wrote the Lethal Weapon episode from last season, which is a classic. And this is kind of a comic book way of bringing that type of character back to us. And I'm really looking forward to that. Looks pretty interesting. So it sounds like something you'd be interested in. Again, that's Doberman number one from IDW's Darby Pop line.
This is Derek again from the podcast The Comics Alternative. My next pick from the May previews catalog is in the Image section. You can find it on pages 218 through 221. It is the new title from Rick Remender, and this is the number one issue of Low. In the far distant future, the sun's premature expansion has irradiated Earth, sending humanity to the lowest depths of the sea. Hidden within radiation-shielded cities, while probes scour the universe for inhabitable worlds to relocate to. After tens of thousands of years, a single probe returns, crashing on Earth's surface, a now alien place no human has seen for many millennia. No, this is not a solicit for Wall-E. This is the new title from Rick Remender, Low, and the art in this series is by Greg Tocchini. It looks interesting. You have not only the solicit, but you have three really good pages of Tocchini's art. Image is always good about that, with their main new titles that they feature, providing multiple pages to give you sample art and provide your eyes something to grab onto. And this definitely grabs onto my eyeballs, especially if you look at pages 220 and 221. They are having to use these dark black bars to blank out the, I guess you could say, the naughty bits of a couple of characters here. So I'm wondering how racy this title is. It sparks my imagination. I'm definitely going to get this. Another thing to note about this title is this is still another new series that Rick Remender is doing with Image. Earlier, he began, I think late last year, he began Black Science. It's still going on. And then several months ago, Deadly Class. Now we have another, Low, number one. He must have a lot of ideas he wants to get out there, and to do so for Image Comics. You can find out more about this title on pages 218 through 221.
Next up on page 222 from Image Comics is Supreme Blue Rose number one. Now, this is written by Warren Ellis, and he's a great writer. He always has a very imaginative take on characters. And this is going to reintroduce certain Image Comics characters. Presumably, of course, it's going to be Supreme, Ethan Crane, and all of those characters. I'm real curious what direction these are going to take. The art style here by Tula Lote, who I'm not familiar with, has a very different kind of a look to it than a lot of the classic Supreme stuff. It looks like it's very much going to be kind of a from-scratch reimagining, dealing with the multiversal time aspect and Darius Dax. And the Supreme character has gone in a lot of different directions over the years, and they've played with that very explicitly and upfront with the multiple universe versions and whatnot. This is going to, I think, play out of that. I'm very excited because, again, Warren Ellis, very imaginative and should have a very unique take on this. It is a $2.99 book. We have it as a DCBS pick of the month. It's got a 50% discount, dropping it to $1.49. So, once again, Supreme Blue Rose number one from Image Comics on page 222. Check it out.
This is Comics for Fun and Profit, and you're with Kyle and Drew, and we're on page 230 of your previews. We're looking in Image Comics, and we're looking at spread number one, a really cool cover of spread number one. You got a guy with a bloody axe and a baby strapped to his chest, so this looks interesting.
Yeah, it's written by Justin Jordan with art by Kyle Strom, so Kyle, there you go.
There you go. That's a reason to get it right there.
32 pages, 350, and this is a post-apocalyptic tale, which are all the rage these days. And I guess Justin Jordan did the Luther Strode book, and that had some critical acclaim. I like this. This looks a little bloody, but the cover's very intriguing, and I really like the font. So I'm recommending this book based on the font of the title on the cover. And that's probably a first, I would think, because not a lot of people probably recommend things based on fonts, but I thought it was really well done.
It's a very meaty font. You just can't beat that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we are all about a lot of these image firsts, and, you know, Image has been hitting it out of the park with a lot of these things. And this just looks interesting. This looks like a universe I just need to know more about. So I'm also excited for this, not necessarily because of the font, but hopefully because of the storyline.
Yeah, so it's 230 and 231. There's some art pages, interior pages you can check out. It's Justin Jordan, Kyle Strom. New number one from Image, so please check that out.
And make sure you check out Comics for Fun and Profit at comicsfunprofit.com.
Derek again from the Comics Alternative blog and podcast. My next pick of the month is also in the Image section. You'll find this on page 235, and it's something that I think has previously been solicited. Black Kiss 2, Christmas in July special, and Christmas with three X's. Why three X's? If you know anything about either Black Kiss or Howard Chaykin, it would make perfect sense to you. This is a very short solicit. It says, because nothing says holiday fun like an endless stream of incredibly nasty revenge sex. You know, I'm a fan of Howard Chaykin's. I really love his work, especially his art. And, of course, I really like the way he draws women. I have to say that up front. I am a fan of the first Black Kiss series. It is a very well-written story. It's very, if you're not familiar with it, know that it is an example of eroticism, to say the least. Some would say comics pornography. But I think it's an intriguing story. When Black Kiss 2 came out, that miniseries, and then the collection, not quite 2 years ago, I was looking forward to it, but then was sorely disappointed. It seemed to me at the time, an excuse for just a lot of gratuitive and very raunchy stuff going on. Let's just put it that way. Now, Black Kiss, Christmas, two tastes that do not really go great together, but that's what's so intriguing about this title, Black Kiss 2, Christmas in July Special. I'm going to check it out, if for no other reason, for the art. You can find this solicit on page 235 of the catalog.
Hey guys, TJ back here in the Image section on page 239. My next selection is Rocket Girl Volume 1 Squared, or Times Squared trade paperback. The story by Brandon Montclair and art by Amy Reeder. This previews has pretty much been a huge selection of some of my favorite artists, from Jeff Lemire to Ben Temple Smith to Tom Scioli, and now Amy Reeder, one of my absolute favorite artists. And you know, this is her and Brandon's creator-owned project that they've been really working on the last year or so, and they even have a podcast that they kind of talk about how they're going through it, the process of making it. So just a big Amy Reeder art fan, and so this is a pretty cool story about the 80s. And so it says, a teenage cop from a high-tech future is sent back in time to 1986 New York City. DeYoung Johansson is investigating the Quintum Mechanics Megacorporation for crimes against time. As she pieces together the clues, she discovers the future she calls home, an alternate reality version of 2014, shouldn't exist at all. So it's, you know, issues 1 through 5, and you know, DCBS has it for 50% off, so you're getting 5 issues for $5. You know, the Image does those first trades pretty cheap, and this is just along those same lines. So if you're interested in some great Amy Reeder art and a good 1980s adventure story, check out page 239 in the Image section for Rocket Girl, Volume 1, Times Squared trade paperback.
Hey guys, this is Drew with my pick from Image on page 255 in the previews catalog. This is Sex Criminals number 7, story by Matt Fraction with art by Chippard Ziberwargi. And it looks like Mac Fraction was having a little bit of fun when he sent in the credits for this issue and goofed around with Chip Zdarsky's name. Hilarity. Hilarity ensues. Anyway, this comes out July 16th. 32 pages for $3.50, and continues the story that I believe finished up last issue, so this would be the beginning of a new story arc. So, exciting stuff. A very funny book with a twisted premise. Was Time Magazine's Book of the Year, so please check out Sex Criminals on page 255 of the previews catalog.
Hello, this is David Arrington from the Helix Reviews podcast, and this is Rocket Raccoon number one. Rocket Raccoon is getting his all-new solo series, and, alright, I didn't really, when I heard they were going to make Rocket Raccoon on the big screen, I was like, seriously? What in the world, a walking, talking raccoon, and now you're going to make it into a movie? And I'm still a little bit that way, but after reading the Guardians of the Galaxy series, I absolutely love the Guardians of the Galaxy series. Now I'm really excited about the movie. And Rocket Raccoon slash Groot. I kind of wish this was a Rocket Raccoon slash Groot series personally, but that's okay. But Rocket Raccoon really has grown on me as a character, because at first I was like very much against him because a walking, talking raccoon, this is just ridiculous. I'm not a fan of walking, talking animals. But he's grown on me to the point that I'm planning on checking out the Rocket Raccoon series. As Defenders of the Cosmos go, Rocket Raccoon has faced his fair share of galactic battles. He's been a hero to the weak, a champion of good, a protector of the innocent, a heartthrob to the many intergalactic female species, and now, a raccoon on the run? Rocket's high-flying life of adventure and heroism may soon be a thing of the past, when he becomes a wanted man, and the authorities are not the only one on his tail. Get it? Tail? Yeah. Scotty Young is writing it and doing the art and coloring, so this is like his brainchild, apparently. And this is one that I am actually anticipating much to, you know, my own surprise. So this is Rocket Raccoon number one. Check it out. This is David Arrington of the Helix Reviews podcast with Spider-Man 2099 number 1. This is written by Peter David and with art by William Slinley, and the solicit reads, "The book you have been demanding for months has finally hit the stands. Miguel O'Hara is Spider-Man in the year 2099, but he is currently stuck in the year 2014. He is stranded here by his father, who is the head of an evil corporation called Ultramax. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that. Ultramax? Ultramax? Anyway. The year 2099. But in 2014, Ultramax has just been formed, and Miguel has a chance to stop its corruption before it starts. You'd think being a man out of time would make you a man without enemies. But Spider-Man 2099 is about to discover that he's not the only one hoping for a better tomorrow. One that might be insured by the adjuster eliminating Miguel from the time stream altogether." Now, Spider-Man 2099, I've read some of the old comics, and I really like them, but this is a series that I've been waiting for. I honestly don't understand why it took them so long after they brought Miguel O'Hara into the present day. I don't understand why it took them so long to have a series start. I thought a series should have started immediately after the Spider-Man 2099 arc in The Superior Spider-Man. But now he's here, finally, he's getting his own series, Spider-Man 2099 against Ultramax. Awesome, I love this idea, and I cannot wait to check out Spider-Man 2099 number 1. Hello, this is David Arrington of the Helix Reviews podcast, and I have all new Ghost Rider number 5. It's a fight you've been waiting for. Ghost Rider versus a modified Mr. Hyde. Robbie Rye's violent neighborhood has become a full-blown urban battlefield. Can he save it? Will he want to? All-out action and a twist that will hit you at 100 miles per hour. Now, I'm not normally a Ghost Rider fan. I mean, when I first saw this series, I'm like, this is probably not a series that I'll continue reading. But, you know, I always check out the first issue, just in case, you know? And I read the first issue, and despite a couple missteps, a couple hiccups, I really enjoyed the first issue. I think the characterization of Robbie is very good and very interesting. They make him a character that you care about, rather than kind of just a punk kid, which is what I was expecting him to just kind of be, a generic punk type kid. Changing the motorcycle to a car, not a big fan of that, just because I guess I like the visuals of seeing the Ghost Rider riding on a motorcycle, but you know what? I'll accept it. This is a pretty cool series that I would recommend checking out. You know, give it a shot. If you're not a fan of Ghost Rider, go ahead, give it a shot. And that is All New Ghost Rider, number 5.
Next up on page 43 of the Marvel Previews, Daredevil number 5. This is by Mark Waid and Chris Samnee. Now, don't be confused by the solicit on page number 10 for Daredevil number 6. And yes, I did get confused enough and actually recorded a clip on that, thinking it was number 5 and they'd just gotten it wrong. Silly me. They had both and they just split them by, 33 pages in the previews. Confusing. I mean, why put 6 before 5? Anyways, in Daredevil number 5, the actual Daredevil number 5, we find out who or what killed Foggy Nelson. And now that he's dead, what's he supposed to do with his life? Now, they've been teasing since this series started, this volume started, that he did but didn't die of cancer from the previous series. So this will finally clarify what his status quo is or what have you and what's going on with him. And I'm looking forward to it. Again, Waid and Samnee have just been doing an outstanding job on this title. Loving it. Well worth checking out. This is a comic book page pick of the month. We've got a discount at DCBS on this, bringing that $3.99 cover price down to $1.99. So, once again, that's Daredevil number 5 on page 43 of the Marvel Previews. Check it out.
This is Kyle and Drew with Comics for Fun and Profit, and we're on page 72 of your Marvel Previews, and we're looking at Magneto. Magneto is now double shipped, number 6 and number 7, it looks like. On this month, I think this is the first month it has double shipped, so this is what I'm excited for, double shipping, because I'm really enjoying this title. Came out of nowhere for me. Picked it up on a whim from a friend of mine who was looking at it, and it's been really, really good. If you're not reading Magneto, it's essentially Magneto has taken up the mantle. He is protector of mutant kind. You know, he's begun investigating crimes against mutant, and he's going out, and he is just finding people that have done mutants wrong or who have made it their business to destroy and hurt mutants, and he is just murdering them, essentially. He's kind of investigating and finding out what's going on, but he is finding people that have done mutants wrong, and he's killing them. And it's so cool. And this is a current continuity Magneto, so he has his powers back, but he is not at full strength. It's really, really, really good. And we get 6 and 7 here.
Yeah, this is 32 pages, $3.99, double shipped. Usually that's not my wheelhouse. I don't like a lot of double shipped books. I don't like a lot of $3.99 books. But I'm kind of stuck with both, it seems. And this is a great book, so I'm definitely down for this. These first three that are out so far have been fantastic. So, you know,
yeah, and they all have the same thing going on. You know, they all start with a witness recant of the massive murder that happens at the end of the previous book. So it's really cool. I love how it opens.
Yeah,
it opens with people rehashing. Here's what I saw. Here's what happened. And you know, people trying to chase and hunt down Magneto and stop him from doing this, and it's all stuff that you saw in the previous issue. It's just really cool. I mean, issue one, the coolest thing that endeared me to this is, like, issue one starts out in a coffee shop and Magneto's talking to this guy who's done mutants wrong, and what he does is he rips the guy's fillings out and then stabs him with them. That's the kind of book this is, and it's absolutely phenomenal. I just love every minute of it. I love what they're doing with some of these villains books, where they're focusing on the villains, giving them personality, and then we follow them in their adventures. So, double shipped, number 6, number 7, from Marvel Comics.
Hey guys, TJ back again with my next selection on page 280 in Ad House Books. This is Youth is Wasted graphic novel with writing art by Noah Van Sciver. Youth is Wasted collects several of Noah Van Sciver's most outstanding short stories from his critically acclaimed and award-nominated comic book series, Blammo, as well as various anthology submissions. 112 pages, black and white, for $14.95, and they can get it $10, about $10 through DCBS. Don't know much about Noah Van Sciver, but the cover of this, you know, looks really interesting. It sets really kind of a moody, northwestern feel to it. So, kind of just interested. I've had some good experience with Ad House books, and Noah Van Sciver is pretty well known, and I'm kind of interested in checking this out. I actually don't know much about some of his works, but this kind of seems like a good collection to get started. So if you're interested in Noah Van Sciver's work, check out Ad House Books on page 280.
Hey guys, this is Drew with my pick from Avatar on page 298 of the previous catalog. It's Extinction Parade War, number one. This is the canceled issue 6 and 7 that were already solicited for the last round of Extinction Parade, so I guess they're going to go the series of mini-series route. Sales must have not been where they needed to be. This is a $4.99 first issue, 40 pages, so it's a little pricey. This is still writer Max Brooks, continuing the storyline of when zombies rise, the vampires finally realize that they're running out because all their food sources, they're turning them into zombies, so they finally realize at the end of the last story arc what was happening and decided to join the fray. So this begins the story arc where they band together with the humans to fight this zombie incursion. So it was really cool, the last story arc. So I'm definitely on board for this one. It's too bad they couldn't just continue it as an ongoing, but thus sometimes it's the nature of the beast of this industry that ongoing series cannot be sustained sales-wise, so they have to reboot them and renumber them. And sadly, this is where we're at, but please, please support Extinction Parade War number 1 on page 298 of the previews catalog.
Next up on page 313 from Boom Studios is Black Market number 1 of 4. Basic concept here, somebody has a cure for cancer, not just cancer, but every known disease. The problem is, it's hidden within the DNA of superheroes. So that means this medical examiner and his brother, the person who found this supposed cure, presumably are either going to be robbing superhero corpses or maybe not-so-dead superheroes for their DNA. In either case, should be interesting. Boom's been doing some interesting stuff over in Suicide Risk and other areas with some superhero properties. This should be a good, four-issue, tell-a-solid story and be done with it. Kind of a thing. I kind of like it when they go in with a good game plan and can tell a very solid story where you know there's going to be a sense of closure. Granted, I love open-ended stories too, but sometimes they meander a bit. This should be fairly focused, hopefully. So once again, it's Black Market. It is a $3.99 title. We've got a DCBS discount on it of 50% because it's comic book page pick of the month. That drops it down to $1.99. Which, I think it's worth checking out and stuff. They've got also some good character designs on the covers and stuff, and page 2 of interior art in previews on pages 312 and 313. Once again, Black Market number 1 of 4 from Boom Studios. Check it out.
Hey guys, this is TJ back again. My next selection is in the Dynamite section on page 335. This is The Devilers, number 1 of 7, a new series by Joshua Hal Fialkov, the guy that does The Bunker. He's doing the writing with Matt Triano, doing the art with Jock doing the cover. This is a $2.99 book, and DCBS has it on sale for 99 cents. There's really no reason to not try this if you're into these kind of books. And it looks like a pretty good horror book. And here's the description. When the world is under siege from the pits of hell, it's up to the Devilers to set things right. Some of the world's greatest exorcists pit themselves against Satan's army, and all of creation hangs in the balance. From the writer of The Bunker, The Ultimates, and I, Vampire, comes a horror-filled adventure through hell itself. So maybe not for John, but You know, I've had some good experience with Joshua Fialkov's work, including The Bunker. And, you know, he's one of the up-and-coming new writers in comics, and I'm pretty excited to give most of what he has a shot. And considering this is 99 cents for DCBS, you know, it's pretty hard to go wrong. You know, Dynamite's one of those companies that can be hit or miss, but, you know, they have done some pretty good relaunches lately with the Gold Key stuff. And, you know, I am liking more and more of their comics. So if you're interested in something a little on the darker side, The Devilers, number one, on page 335 of the Dynamite section, check it out. Hey guys, TJ back again. My next selection is also in the Dynamite section on page 357. It's King's Watch trade paperback with Jeff Parker writing and Mark Lamming doing the art. 160 pages, collects issues 1 through 5 of King's Watch. Here's the blurb if you're interested in checking this out. Flash Gordon, the Phantom, and Mandrake the Magician are together again for the first time. When strange phenomena fill the skies, all humanity shares the same nightmare's vision. Three iconic heroes rush headlong into danger to save us all. While Playboy adventurer Flash Gordon uncovers an alien menace, the ghostly jungle champion known as the Phantom faces murderous creatures in the African wild. But it's only Mandrake, a stage performer in touch with mystic realms, who knows how these horrors are related, and how they threaten to shatter Earth. Brought together through the efforts of reporter Dale Arden, the eccentric Professor Zarkov, and Man of Action Lothar, the heroes must overcome the Cult of Cobra and their otherworldly allies. So I think this is just sounds like a real lot of fun. You know, I'm a pretty big fan of Jeff Parker, the writer, and I like these characters. You know, some of them, you know, can be better than others depending on how they're written and how they're used. But you know, these characters I find are pretty fun. So if you're interested in Jeff Parker's work or some of these characters, such as Flash Gordon, the Phantom, or Mandrake, check out King's Watch trade paperback on page 357 of the Dynamite section.
Hello again, this is Derek from the Comics Alternative podcast and blog. My next pick from the May catalog is on page 363, and it is in the Drawn and Quarterly section. Ah, Drawn and Quarterly, one of my favorite publishers. This is a new work by Anouk Ricard, Benson's Cuckoos. It's a graphic novel. From the author of Anna in Froga comes a wry, offbeat whodunit that centers on office life. And no, this is not Dilbert, by the way. Richard thinks he's in luck when he snags a job at a cuckoo clock factory, but things start to go wrong right off the bat. First off, there's his boss, who doesn't seem to have the strongest grip on reality and has an odd penchant for silly hats. Then there are his co-workers, who are alternatively evasive and idiotic when asked about anything pertaining to actually getting work done. Finally, there's Guy, the employee Richard's replacing, who supposedly quit, but whose family has just appeared on national TV pleading for his safe return. It's all adding up to a very strange workplace, and when the company goes on a retreat, everything spools quickly out of control. This seems like an interesting title. The art is the type that looks like it could be for younger readers, but my guess is this is not. You can find out more about it on page 363 of the previews catalog in the Drawn and Quarterly section, where you also see a number of solicits or resolicits from the various Moomin collections from Lars Jansen. So again, with Drawn and Quarterly, you can't go wrong. Be sure to check those books out. Derek again from the Comics Alternative podcast, and my next picks of the month, yes, plural, picks, you can find on pages 363 and 367 of the previews catalog, and they're in the Fantagraphics section. You know, sometimes when I send in these clips, I include two books within one clip. This is probably the first time I've just said, okay, two pages, go there, get all of those books, because that's the way I feel this month with Fantagraphics' solicits. I'm honest here, I'm not kidding. You can look at the two pages, 366, 367, and it's filled with things that I definitely want to get. I'm not going to go through all the titles, but some of the ones that stand out to me is there's the next installment in what Fantagraphics is doing with Walt Disney's Uncle Scrooge and Donald Duck series. This is another Don Rosa collection, Son of the Sun. So make sure you get that. Also on page 366, if you are a fan of Hip Hop Family Tree and or Ed Pisker, then time to celebrate. Get out that hip hop music and look for Hip Hop Family Tree Book 2. So this is coming out soon. And in fact, part of Book 2, along with Book 1, was included in a free Comic Book Day issue, in fact. Something I'm very excited about is also a book from Jim Woodring, and this is Jim. It collects for the first time the anthologies that, the anthology that he had a number of years ago titled Jim, where you have a variety of cartoons. If you aren't familiar with Jim Woodring's work, he's probably best known for his Frank comics. Really good stuff. Another thing you'll find on page 366 is the next installment in the Lovin' Rockets book library series. This is Luba and Her Family. This is a great series of books that Fantagraphics has been putting out over the past several years, repackaging all of the Lovin' Rockets stuff. And this takes place, or this includes the comics of Gilbert Hernandez, probably around the time he ended the first volume of Lovin' Rockets, and when Luba comes to the United States along with other members of her family. Really good collection. Make sure to check that out. Another thing worth noting on 366, as I said, everything in the Fantagraphic section is worth noting, actually, is a one-shot, I assume. It's called DKW, Ditko, Kirby Wood. This is by Sergio Pancioni. It says, a gorgeous one-shot is an exquisite tribute to three of the most acclaimed comic book artists of all time, Steve Ditko, Jack Kirby, and Wally Wood. So I'm curious to see what Pancioni is doing here. On 367, there are also a couple of really interesting titles. Another work by a great artist, Carol Swain, called Ghast. Set in rural England, Carol Swain's Ghast is a rare kind of contemporary graphic novel that critics are imagining when they exult over the promise of an art form, a philosophically mature vision uniquely executed by an artist wholly in control of her craft. And then finally, there is Dash Shaw's Cosplayer 2. Cosplayer 1, a single issue, came out about a month or so ago. Now we have, in another couple of months, Cosplayer 2. The Cosplayer Chronicle continues as Annie and Verdi attend the three-day anime convention, Tezucon. They enter the cosplay competition as Princess Monoki and the Devil May Cry Lady. During the convention, they face off against a Street Fighter 2 Kami, encounter two otaku boys who are obsessed with their YouTube videos, and meet a manga scholar named Ben Baxter, who sleeps in a dumpster outside of the hotel and receives visions of the ending of Tezuka's unfinished Phoenix Saga. So you can tell that Dashaw is having fun with not only cons, but specifically cosplayers. And so check that out as well. Again, many, many good titles, from Cosplayer 2 to Walt Disney to Hip Hop Family Tree, Jim, Luba, DKW, and Ghast. And find out more about these books on pages 366 and 367 of the previous catalog, or just go to the Fantagraphics website.
Hey guys, it's TJ with my last selection for this month. It's on page 369 in the first second section. It's the Shadow Hero graphic novel with writing by Jean Luen Yang and art by Sunny Liu. And this is a pretty interesting graphic novel. Here's the description. In the comics boom of the 1940s, a legend was born, the Green Turtle. He solved crimes and fought injustice just like the other comics characters, but this mysterious mass crusader was hiding behind more than your run-of-the-mill secret identity. The Green Turtle was the first Asian-American superhero. The comic had a short run before lapsing into obscurity, but the acclaimed author of American-born Chinese, Jean Luen Yang, has finally revived this character in Shadow Hero, a new graphic novel that creates an origin story for the Green Turtle. And so the story behind this, from what I understand, is that, you know, in the 1940s, this hero was kind of put forward, and the people that were publishing it, they didn't necessarily want to show that he was an Asian superhero, and so they basically made him obscure his ethnic features with a mask and with his cape. And so I think Jean Luen Yang is kind of approaching this as kind of to write that, you know, past wrong, and obviously the things have changed since 1940. So if you're interested in an update of the Green Turtle and his new origin that fits in with a little bit more of where we are in comics today, check it out on page 369 in the first second section.
Derek again with the Comics Alternative Podcast, coming to you, telling you suggestions, recommendations from the May Previews catalog. And my next pick is on page 374. It's published by Hill and Wang, and it is the trade paperback edition of the last work that Harvey Pekar was working on before he died, Not the Israel My Parents Promised Me. Now, this includes art by J.T. Waldman. In Harvey Pekar's final memoir, he recounts the entire history of the Jews to explain how he lost his faith in the State of Israel. Pekar grew up a staunch supporter of the Jewish state, but as he grew up, he confronted more and more questions his parents couldn't answer. Not the Israel My Parents Promised Me interweaves Pekar's gradual disaffection with the modern State of Israel with a comprehensive history of the Jews, from the biblical time to the present, as Pekar and the book's illustrator, J.T. Waldman, wrestle with the mythologies and realities surrounding the Jewish homeland. This came out, I guess, about a year ago in hardback edition. I have that one. I'm a big Pekar fan, and I'm specifically interested in comics and graphic novels that deal with Jewish identity, American or otherwise. So I'm not going to get this trade paperback, but I highly recommend it that you do, because you can't go wrong with Pekar, especially this being his last piece before he died. And you can find out more about this on page 374 of the catalog. This is Derek again from the Comics Alternative Podcast, and on the topic of Jewish themes in comics, you'll find on page 378 a title by Trina Robbins, Lily Renee, Escape Artist. This is being offered again, and it's also included, I guess, because Previews has having a Women in Comics theme for the month of May. And here you have not only a book by Trina Robbins, who is, I guess, a legendary figure of the comics underground, one of the few women to come out of that, and who also has done a lot to bring attention to women's and women's history in comics. Just last year, she came out with a book called Pretty in Ink, which is about women in comics. But the subject matter is also about a woman in comics. This is a story about Lily Renee Wilhelm, who, when she was 14 years old, was living in Vienna at the time that the Nazis were coming to power there in 1938. She was sent to England. Her parents sent her there so she could escape whatever they thought was going to happen with the rise of German influence there. She eventually made her way to the United States and worked her way into comics, being an illustrator. So not only is this a gripping story about the Holocaust and all of that surrounding that topic, but also about a young woman who makes her way into comics. So this came out several years ago. I think it's a pretty good story. It's an all-age comic, so it's something that not only could you appreciate, but you could give it to a young person, your kid if you want. And it's a bit of history. Find out more about this on page 378 of the catalog. Derek again from the Comics Alternative Podcast. And again, sticking with the Jewish comics focus, as I had with my last two picks, here we have a book on page 398 coming out from Shokan, or at least coming out again or being resolicited again by Shokan. And it is a work by Lila Korman, Untersachen. This is a mesmerizing, heartbreaking graphic novel of immigrant life on New York's Lower East Side at the turn of the 20th century, as seen through the eyes of twin sisters whose lives take radically and tragically different paths. In drawing that capture both the tumult and the telling details of that life, Untersachen tells the story of sisters Esther and Fena, from the wide-eyed little girls to adults battling for their own piece of the golden land, where each of them must make painful decisions that will have unavoidably tragic repercussions. So you could say that in many ways, this is a story that kind of picks up where Trina Robbins's Lily Renee leaves off, because with Lily Renee, we have a character who begins in Austria, makes her way to England, and then eventually ends up in the United States, where she begins an art career. And that's where that story leaves off. Here in Untersachen, Corman basically begins when you have the life, the immigrant life, beginning in America, here, the Lower East Side, in the early part of the 20th century, and it's the trajectory that two sisters' lives take, and they do go in different directions. This is another one of those that came out a few years ago, but is being re-solicited as part of Preview's Women in Comics focus. I highly recommend this. This is a good book. You can find out more about Untersachen on page 398 of the catalog.
This next one just struck me as interesting. Hopefully it'll be good, but sometimes I just like to take a risk when I find a concept or a title that just sounds different. On page 114 from 12 Gauge Comics, we've got Sherwood, Texas, number 1. This is part of a 5-part miniseries, and it's reimagining the Robin Hood legend as a modern-day spaghetti western in Sherwood, Texas. Biker gangs, drug wars, human trafficking, all the wonderful things that a modern Robin Hood tale, I guess, would have. They have a couple of covers here. They're by a different person than doing the interior art. Don't know how the interior art's going to be. Don't know how the story's going to be. I don't recognize really either the writer or the artist. But sometimes this sort of a retelling of a classic tale in a new setting can be a lot of fun. Other times it can be just highly derivative. I'm hoping it's going to be a lot of fun. I figure I'll give this a shot, see how it goes, sample the issue, and go from there. It's a $1 comic, which is part of why I'm giving it a try. At that price, it's hard to go wrong. Add in a 45% discount through DCBS. It'll cost you 55 cents. It's hard, like I said, hard to go wrong with 55 cents for a sampling of an issue. It's 24 pages and such. The concept sounds interesting. So roll the dice, see what happens. Once again, Sherwood, Texas, number 1 from 12 Gauge Comics on page 414. Check it out.
This is Derek once again from the Comics Alternative podcast and blog, and my last pick of the month is on page 415 of the catalog under the Uncivilized Books section. It's a new graphic novel from Sam Alden, It Never Happened Again, two stories. In this book, you'll find two pieces, the first of which is titled Hawaii, 1997. In this comic, there are few words that are spoken. This is also a Ignatz Award-nominating piece. The second story in the collection is titled We Don't Talk About It, and We're Not Going to Play It. And here we have, it's a story about a character who finds gender dynamics a little complicated, especially as they surround the kidnapping attempt that took place in New Orleans. You know, I've said before on preview shows that Uncivilized Books, a relatively new publisher, is one of those that you really should pay attention to. They're doing some really good stuff on par with other publishers like Drawing Quarterly and Fantagraphics, top shelf as well. This is pulled together by Tom Kaczynski, who himself is an artist. And Uncivilized Books has grown from being a, let's say, a mini comic boutique to being a publisher of not only mini comics, but also really nice graphic novels, comics, and collections. And another thing that Tom does is he brings European artists to American readers. So this is great. Check out not only It Never Happened Again, but also the various offerings under the Uncivilized Books website. You can find out about Sam Alden's brand new book on page 415 of the catalog.
Next up on page 424 is Harbinger number 25. This is a 48-page anniversary spectacular, bringing back a lot of the creators who've been on the book over the last 2 years. And this is Toyo Harada's last stand. It promises to be a kind of a big turning point for at least these characters, if not potentially the entire Valiant universe. with, you know, whatever the outcome of this major battle being, changing a lot of things kind of forever in its wake, or so they say. I'm looking forward to this. Harbinger has been a good read the entire time. You know, we've got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, at least 7 different artists, including Kari Evans, Barry Kitson, among others. So, I mean, yes, we're going to get some different art styles in this, but it's kind of nice for them to bring back a lot of the people who have contributed to the title already. 2-year anniversary may not seem like a big deal, but frankly, it's longer than a lot of titles last these days, and with Marvel and DC seeming to end and reboot titles, particularly Marvel, every few years, surviving 2 years is nothing to sneeze at. Anyways, I'm enjoying really almost everything Valiant's doing. Harbinger is a great read, definitely worth checking out. This seems like a good jumping on point. 48 pages, it is $4.99. Frankly, that's not a bad page count to cover price ratio. But just to help things out, this is a comic book page pick of the month, giving it a 50% discount through DCBS, dropping that price to $2.49. If you haven't sampled the title, this should be a good place to do it, at least to get a feel for the different artists and whatnot, different writing style, because we've got Joshua Dysart and Justin Jordan on the writing. Check it out. I think it'll be worthwhile. Again, I've been reading the series since it started, plus the last couple of go-rounds of Valiant, so I'm a big fan. Once again, that's Harbinger number 25 on page 424 from Valiant Comics. Check it out.
Yeah, hi, this is Sam, and this pick is from Zenoscope, and that is Grim Tales of Terror number 1, written by Ralph Tedesco. Zenoscope is kind of ending one of their flagship lines, the Grim Fairy Tales books, with issue 100 that's also in the same solicit, or same previews. But this is the start of a new series. As the description reads, inspired by Tales from the Crypt, Twilight Zone, and Creepshow, Zenoscope goes back to its roots of horror as the publisher known for reinventing classics delves into an entirely new bag of tricks. From Poe to Hawthorne to brand new fables, these tales of terror are sure to creep you out in a whole new way. Again, Zenoscope spent years kind of doing the Grimm's Fairy Tales, probably what they're best known for. And it's some fun stuff, you know, stories of, you know, kind of modern takes and a little different twist on kind of your classic fairy tales. And that same group is taking on some classic gothic horror. So I at least want to check it out, see what that's going to be like. So again, that is Grim Tales of Terror from Zenoscope, issue 1 in this month's preview.
This was another expensive month for me. I've had a few of those this year. February in particular was pretty big. But, you know, I look back at that order form and I ordered a artist edition and 3 $50 hardcovers. That right there was what bumped me above. This time around, though, the problem I had was I've only got like 4 items over $5, and that's including the $12.95 charge from DCBS for weekly shipping. Another one of them was the Valiant bundle, which, you know, is basically all the issues I'd be getting anyways, but at a additional discount, so that doesn't really count. And then I got like a hardcover and a book, and that's about it. So not a whole lot I can be cutting. Now, because of the futures end round of solicitations being included, my total number of items is way up. It's around 273 items, which is just crazy. And 116 of those are from DC. So that's about 42.5% of my order right there, just in terms of number of items. Marvel weighs in just under 33% with 90 items. And then I'm getting about 3 dozen items from the back half of previews, 15 from Image, 10 from Dark Horse, 6 from IDW. All in all, a decent size month for me. I either need to be reading faster or cutting back a little potentially. But this is also kind of a self-correcting thing with the number of titles that are ending. And with not next month's previews, but the one after, I've already ordered everything from the new 52, I believe. So that'll at least be a nice kind of a slow month and a low total for me there. But hopefully everybody was able to find some stuff that was of interest. We have an open submission policy here on the Preview Spotlight. That means anyone can send in a clip. Retailers, readers, podcasters, creators, publishers, anybody. And we encourage everybody to do it because there's just so much stuff in previews every month, it's easy for great things to be lost. And really, it's all about finding the right thing for the right people. It's a matchmaking service here. I can't do it alone. We had a lot of really great clips this time around. I really thank everybody who sent in stuff. Now, the timeline for how this works, using kind of previews, the release of that is the pivot point. Now, that's always, or almost always, the last Wednesday of the month. Now, about 2 weeks before that, the solicits start to show up online at places like Comic Book Resources. All five of the premier publishers go up, Marvel, DC, Image, Dark Horse, and IDW. The smaller publishers, usually not so much on like Comic Book Resources, but other places like Comics Continuum and whatnot, they're out there. And of course, the publishers usually put them up on their own websites. Now, about a week after that, usually on the Wednesday, and this is the Wednesday before the print previews comes out, Diamond puts the information on the Previews World website. That's where I usually get some of the information myself. Because the following week, when Previews comes out on that Wednesday, by that point, I've had to already send in my picks of the week, or picks of the month, to DCBS, so they have a chance to put them as additional discount items on the order form. And again, I really appreciate DCBS letting me do that. It's a fun thing to do, and you know, I've been a happy customer of theirs for the past, well, over 10 years now. Definitely recommend them, but if you've got a local comic shop, by all means, support them too. This is all about the love of comics, and, you know, shop where you feel comfortable. So, Previews comes out, that's that last Wednesday of the month. Now, that day, or around that day, depending how my schedule is going, I send out an email to people reminding them about the Preview Spotlight deadline. If you want to be on that email list, shoot me a private message on the forum or shoot me an email. I'll add you to the list. It's not a problem. This is something I want people to explicitly opt into so they don't feel like they're getting spammed or something. The only thing I use that list for is around the time Previews comes out, sending an email out saying, hey, this is what the deadline is for the Preview Spotlight. That deadline always has been and probably always will be 10 days later on that Saturday morning, not immediately after Previews comes out, but again, 10 days after, so about a week and a half after. We had 1 month, we tried pulling it forward, it didn't work well for anybody. So, Previews comes out, 10 days later, the submissions are due. The following week, which is about 2 weeks after Previews has come out, that's when the Preview Spotlight comes out, the actual episode itself. And I just need a little bit of time to clean up the audio, string everything together, put in the bumpers, do the show notes, all that kind of stuff. It actually takes a fair amount of time to do that, because I'm also listening to all the clips and, frankly, usually updating my order in the process. This is where I usually add at least another $25 to $50 worth of stuff to my order. So not only is it time-consuming, it's expensive to do. But that way I can get the episode out on time. And right around the time that episode goes up, that's usually the time the next round of solicits are starting to show up online. Now, orders are due at local retailers according to the consumer order form on the 18th of every month. That's usually just a couple of days after the episode goes up. I wish I could get it to where there was more time between the episode going up and those orders being due at local shops, but I gotta have time for people to send in the clips, too, so it's kind of a catch-22. Now, people who shop through DCBS, those orders are usually due later in the month. For this time around, those orders are due on the 28th of May. That's actually the day the next Previews is coming out. So, what that means is since the 28th of May is when the next Previews comes out, roll forward not that Saturday, but the following Saturday, 10 days later, the deadline's going to be June 7th. So, please, take advantage of the online solicits. I usually have links to where they are up on a Previews thread as soon as I can. If I haven't done that, remind me. Sometimes I get busy, sometimes I just forget. Usually I do all right, though. Anyways, send in the clips, figure out what you want. Please, at least post on the forum what you're going to send in clips on. This was one of those months where, I mean, everybody just got busy. It's the end of the school year, there's a Mother's Day, you know, we just had Free Comic Book Day, all that kind of stuff. Believe me, I get it. I've been busy too. And frankly, one of the things that slowed getting this episode put together was I had to record my own clips. So believe me, I'm right there with you. But if I have on the thread a nice list of everything that's going to be in there, that means I can start working on the show notes. I can start figuring out how much time I need to put all this together. I can start doing some of the organizational tasks. That really helps. Then, you know, once I get the clips, which frankly usually happens within the 24 hours or so before they're due, and I'd like them earlier, but hey, you know, again, I totally get it. If I were a listener and not the guy assembling it, I'd probably be right there with you. Then, you know, I just put the episode together and stuff like that. I always do that on the weekend. If you need a little bit more time, you can't have it to me bright and early Saturday, email me. I might be able to shift things around, whatever. The other challenge I have, during the same weekend I'm doing all of this, I'm starting to work on the number crunching for the next set of Mayo reports. As I record this, which is, frankly, past midnight on Saturday, so bright and early Sunday morning, later than I'd like to be, but hey, it's got to get done. These are fun episodes, and it's worth the time to do it. I'm also working on cleaning the data for April, getting those into my database to where I can start crunching some of the numbers, starting to outline the episode, and getting all that put together. And that's quite a bit of work, too. So there's usually this one weekend a month where I'm just, like, slammed in terms of podcast-related stuff. Frankly, most of the other times of the month, it's pretty easy. I'm just doing a weekly comic spotlight or something with Drew or a roundtable or whatever. Anyways. That's the timeline. Previews comes out last Wednesday of the month. 10 days later is when the clips are due. I try to have a thread up on the forum at all times for when the next one's going to be, complete with links to the online solicits for the major publishers. If there's anything I can do to make it easier for you guys to send in clips, please let me know. These episodes work not because of whatever I happen to do. That's just incidental. They work because of the clips you guys send in. That's how I find out about new stuff. That's how listeners find out about a ton of stuff. Every one of you guys has slightly different tastes in comics. That's awesome. All you guys are also aware of slightly different comics. You know, there are a couple of books I've gotten on way late in the game. Usagi Yojimbo is one of those. Elephant Men is one of those. Walking Dead was one of those. So I want you guys to send in clips about what you're excited about, what you're really liking, and let's share the love of those comics so we can get more people on board with them. That's good for the comics. You know, they sell better, they're around longer. That's good for you. It's good for the retailers. It's good for the creators, the publishers. It's an all-around win. I love that. So please, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you for listening. Please send in clips. That's what makes these episodes work. And if you're a DCBS customer, don't forget, not only is the deadline for the orders May 28th, but there's two order forms this month. Once for the regular May previews, a second order form for the new 52 Futures End one-shots that are coming out in September. So don't forget to submit both order forms this time around. Again, thanks for listening. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.